This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So we are obviously drenched in a whole lot of questions, and it feels, you know, unstable. But I have some answers to some questions, and there's just one that is sort of foremost on my mind, and I think it's the obvious place. I'm guessing that if there are people tuning in here today because they're interested in what's going on around us, I think it's the obvious place. So Ron, the animal doctor, is with us, and I want to know, like, can I still name that hippo after myself? Like, what is it going to cost me if at the zoo at Miami I want to just get a hippo that has Dan Le Batard as its name? Like, or is that, has that ship sailed? Like, is that done?
Well, here's the deal, Dan. You know, yes, that hippo's been named. I mean, you know, somebody paid some big bucks. They named that hippo, and it's kind of an adult hippo now. But, you know, depending on the extent of your commitment, I could always put Mr. and Mrs. Hippo back together, and, you know, who knows what comes out.
We
could certainly name that one, Dan. Or if you're looking for something a little bigger, I know that, you know, sometimes this this COVID thing has kept you inside eating a lot more. We've got a couple of elephants. Maybe we can go with them.
I feel like that's unnecessary.
I like
Ron.
That.
I don't want an elephant. I want just a hippo, preferably a baby hippo that I could see grow to life. Like, is this legal? Is this something we can do? Because I think the last time.
Yes. No, it is. It certainly is, Dan. It certainly is. You know, I get with the hippo keepers and say, listen, God, you know, let's put these hippos back together. Let's get another baby out. Let's name that baby Dan Le Batard. Let's make sure that baby comes out as a male, so it is a Dan Le Batard. And I'm sure we can make that happen, Dan. You've got a huge movement across the country. It could be one of the most famous pygmy hippos on the face of the planet.
Do you have a snake you can name after me, or...?
I got a frog to name after you,
Stugatz.
I want no part of the frog. I call the cops on a frog, Ron. You know that.
What is this going to cost us? Like, what is the animal that should be named after Stugatz? You guys don't have rats, right? You don't have. Do you have snakes? You don't have.
That'd be a weird display. The rat display.
Do you do snakes?
Of course, we have snakes. And we could certainly name a snake after Stugatz.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. My lawyers will be in touch with your lawyers. I just discovered that I have a lot of lawyers. That is not something I knew before. We will talk to you, Ron. Appreciate all the greatness. And I do. I'm going to get a hippo named after me if it kills me.
And I'm going to make sure that happens, my friend.
All right.
Sure,
yes.
All right. Thank you,
the
Ron.
The big news of the day.
Boom.
Yes.
On a Friday, we're off and running, baby.
Friday off and running. This is the way that you start a radio show right here. So what's going on in sports? Anything? Like, help me out here, because I've been under it a little bit, and I have not seen anything since Wednesday's football game.
Oh, boy, did we miss Thursday night football. Oh, man.
I literally have no idea. I'm sitting here right now. I have no idea who played. I don't know what the result is. I have been drowning for many days now, so I really don't know what's happening here.
Well, it was supposed to be Cowboys Ravens, but I thought everyone kind of understood that it would be unjust to make the Ravens play a doubleheader back-to-back nights.
So it was what? Was there indeed a
there
Thursday night game?
There was no
okay.
Thursday
so
night game.
No,
right.
So what
right.
is the sport thing that people are talking about? Is it John Wall, Russell Westbrook? What is it?
It's maybe Josh Gordon reinstated last 2 weeks of the season for the Seahawks. I mean, you know, getting you ready for the NFL weekend, the college weekend.
Ooh, it's a football Friday, Dan.
That's right.
It's always available
That's right.
for you.
Yeah.
A football Friday. So Josh Gordon. So now the Seahawks are going to go Lockett, Metcalf, and Josh Gordon. That part is confusing to me, Stugatz, in that you tell me if you can figure out what happened in this respect. So Odell Beckham is exceptional, and he gets to Cleveland and becomes a pedestrian receiver statistically.
I mean, right. He's a 1,000-yard receiver his first season.
Oh, but come
his
on.
First season.
Oh, you're always there for us, Browns
homer.
I
mean, he just wasn't OBJ as you remember him, but he was still a very productive receiver.
He was not two 100-yard games, Mike. That's not a very productive receiver.
I understand, but, I mean, expectations are one thing, and production is another, Dan. I'm sure you know that.
Mike's got a team. He's headed to the playoffs, Dan. He's feeling pretty good about himself.
Okay,
right
regardless,
now.
What I was going to say, though, is that Odell Beckham was, you know, exceptional, one of the best we've ever seen, and then he goes to Cleveland and isn't. But Josh Gordon in Cleveland with Brandon Weeden as his quarterback, Josh Gordon was far and away the best statistical receiver in the league with Brandon Weeden as his quarterback. Like, he looked at the time before we've seen this advent recently of just giant receivers. He looked at the time, like the very beginning of this evolution of big giant receivers that are not coverable. And then the rest of his career has been disappointment, short circuiting, drug stuff. And I don't know, Stugatz, if I am linking those two things. I don't know if Josh Gordon, because I have such trouble with the measurements in that sport, I don't know.
Speaking of linking, we have to look back. Now that it's December, let's look at the best films of 2020. So we have Spike Lee's Defy Bloods. Huh? That came on Netflix early in the season. What? Delroy Lindo gave a powerful performance playing a Vietnam veteran. We've now got Mank from David Fincher. That's on Netflix today, so I encourage people to check that out. That is a big-time Oscar.
How has this happened again? Is it? Did they already take away all the governors that we have to keep this guy off of the air? Not that they ever worked before. But did Disney already take those away from us? Are you kidding me?
Mank is the story of what happened to Citizen Kane. Joseph L. Mankiewicz, of course, the writer of Citizen Kane, his relationship with Orson Welles. It's gorgeously rendered in black and white. I encourage all of you to watch it this weekend.
I can't believe that this guy is still haunting us, haunting us from the beyond. And that his segue after not hearing him for so long was, speaking of links, I don't even know.
And furthermore, when you look at great Christmas music, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, holiday special this weekend, make sure everybody checks.
Get him out of here! I haven't had it rough enough recently.
Don Lebatard.
I promised you Matt Barnes talk. I appear to have failed.
Stugatz.
I have no ethics, then.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
So Scott Hansen is going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern, and Chris Jericho is going to join us at 11:30. Chris Jericho, Mike, can we tell the audience that we have a bit of a, I don't know if it's a ceremony that we have planned for the success of Chris Jericho here, but there's going to be a voice and a name from the past sort of joining us to hand over the title of greatest celebrity prognosticator in the history of the show. Now, people have had runs, okay? Big Boy at one time from Outkast, we sent him a championship belt because he had, I think, 6 or 7 straight weeks where he beat Colin Cowherd. I think Carrot Top also had 6 or 7 weeks. But the champion,
Carrot Top,
the guy who Chris Jericho has now knocked off and is going away with the record here, because is he at 10 weeks or 11 weeks? Chris Jericho has basically spent the entire season with us.
It's an incredible run, but the gold standard was Nitro. From American Gladiator.
Nitro, yeah. The American Gladiator was the gold standard. Now, as I recall, Mike, I don't know if you have the file back there of anything Nitro related, but our relationship with Nitro really fell apart. And it's been many years if you've been listening here to the show. His dog died and he was mad. And at the end, because we were making fun of him about something, and his dog had just died, and he hung up on us, and I don't think we've talked to him since.
We haven't talked to him since a former producer here thought it was funny to keep mentioning his dog that passed away, and it landed on the wrong side. We have reached out to Nitro, but he kind of wants to know why we want to speak to him, so I need to call him a little bit ahead of time and explain to him we just want to celebrate you, Mr. Nitro.
All right. Is he worried? Billy, have you had interactions with Nitro here? Because, again, we want to celebrate Chris Jericho's excellence, and we want to celebrate the excellence of Nitro. We do not want to turn it into beef between gladiators, even though Chris Jericho was really disrespectful to the American Gladiators and Nitro himself. Chris Jericho was saying, you know, bring it, stick it, all sorts of phrases like that, because he was coming after the American Gladiators. Where are we, Billy, in terms of your relationship with Nitro? Is he mad at us? Has he forgiven us? Does he think we're bringing him back on to make a joke of him?
I'm not sure what he thinks. Last I heard, he wanted to talk to Chris privately beforehand, and I don't know what that was about. And he was asking how we could make that happen, and I'm like, talk to Mike.
Okay, and so how did that go, or did that just die?
Well, I think Nitro is on the West Coast, though I may be just confusing him with Malibu.
Yeah, so we are trying to get Chris Jericho and Nitro together. We will see if that happens at 11:30, but we're very excited because it's a run like no other, and at this point, people are really invested in this, dude. Guys, like, they're tracking the games. We are hunting down Colin Cowherd. Our entire thing, right? The entire premise of this stupid bit we've been doing for years, too long, frankly. The bit is, look, all of this coverage you see all over everywhere that feeds the NFL monster and makes the NFL the monster success and makes all sports programming basically just a constant commercial for football that makes it stronger and stronger because of the appetite, because of how popular the sport is. We have been saying all of those people covering the sport, there is no link between covering it, being informed, studying tape, and knowing what's going to happen in the game. Like Mike McCarthy, after a blowout, thought this year, before the blowout, he thought they had their best week of practice all season. I've told you, like, there was one week in the NFL I distinctly remember. Saviors, Bill Parcells, and John Gruden thought their team was the most prepared it had been all season for a game, and they lost by a combined score of like 90-3 in one weekend.
Here's the deal. You could pay attention. You could watch football. Maybe you played football. Maybe you had your hand in the dirt. There is no way to know that the Eagles are going to throw a Hail Mary and complete a two-point conversion at the end of the game, and you're not going to cover because you took Seattle.
But more than that, what we're doing with the experiment that now has produced very good results for us, even though it's a small sample. Like, we have beaten Colin Cowherd multiple seasons. Last year, most dramatically, because at the end of the season, he just totally fell apart. But he checks, like, if you have listened to Colin Cowherd, he is talking to people who are breaking down film. Like, he gets into the nitty gritty of breaking down football so that for 10 straight weeks, he could lose to Chris Jericho, who is picking his favorite cities. And that to us is a beautiful experiment. And last week we had to suffer it, right? Because Cowherd, that last week was dramatic. Okay. Because here he is, the record holder, Jericho, and they go in to the last stages of this where Cowherd is 2-1 and Jericho is 2-2. And the games played out with a certain degree of drama, and we ended up in a position where Colin Cowherd has the Seahawks against the Eagles.
Right.
And that game, if you were watching it, the Seahawks had it the entire game. Cowherd had it the entire game, 12 seconds left. Carson Wentz, who has been the worst quarterback in football this year, finally heaves up something and they score a touchdown. And then inexplicably, they go for the two-point conversion. It all helps us, and we end up in a position where we beat, Chris Jericho ends up beating Colin Cowherd because Chris Jericho then gets the saving grace of all the Ravens get sick. And so the line that he gets on that game is much better than the 10 points that it went out at. And even still at that game, we were dying at the end scared. So I'm very excited about where this is headed with Chris Jericho and Nitro. We're going to have a ceremony in an hour. We're going to say, Mike doesn't like
it. It's going to be emotional. I think it's going to, yeah.
I'm not sure how this goes. I'm not even sure how I'll be received by Mr. Nitro.
Why would Nitro want to speak to us ever again?
Why would he? I'm worried why he wanted to speak to Chris Jericho directly. Maybe word got to him about what Chris was saying last week. It's going to be uncomfortable, potentially, and we're not hoping for that.
No, we're not rooting for that. Also, because Nitro is not like a natural-born performer. He's just a guy who was a gladiator, a lot of cartoon muscles, who was a gladiator.
Well, cartoon muscles, I mean...
Careful, man.
Yeah, don't make it seem like popcorn muscles. I mean, he was an American gladiator for a reason. That was based on merit.
You think the cartoon muscles is an insult?
Well, it just makes it seem like it's not, like, authentic. And he, I'm sure, like, man, this guy was a brick house in his day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is saying someone has cartoon muscles a compliment? Yes or no? Because I did not mean it derisive.
They're exaggerated muscles, though. It makes it seem like,
well, because they've got more muscles than the rest of us. It doesn't seem like it's human because cartoonishly they can be drawn instead of worked.
Look, it's a nervous time right now. The thing that's on the front of everybody's mind is protecting this relationship with Dan Nitro Clark.
Don Lebatard.
I'll whoop your butt with a poop sandwich.
Stugatz.
I love that.
But it's gibberish.
Yeah, I love gibberish.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30.
So Christine Lacy, who has been a joy to be around here for the brief time that we have spent with her, although I go back with Christine doing stuff on our shows, literally 20 years when I was just starting in this business on Sunday mornings and she was doing the update, wrote me a nice note yesterday. I'm grateful for that note. But here comes the cruelty. I am sure that whatever it is she has to say right now.
She got me good yesterday, man.
I'm sure this will not be any kind of nice. Let's see what we've got here.
And finally, the name vodka comes from the Russian word for water. Now back to someone who drinks vodka like it's water.
That's me, right?
Because who wants to take it?
Stugatz is the gin and tonic. If it were gin, it would have been Stugatz. If it was tequila, it would have been me. If it was cocaine, it would have been Mike. Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Never on air, never while working. Although sometimes it sounds like it. I really don't think what we've done to Mike here is very fair.
What, made him a coke addict?
Chatterbox cocaine grinding his teeth guy while talking really fast about the Cleveland Browns and Miami Hurricanes.
I've got thoughts.
Well, do you have thoughts on this? Because Tom Haberstroh, our beloved Haberstroh, if you would do me the favor, Mike, and I know every time I say his name, I request the song, but I want to get into here just playing songs a great deal over the course of the next month. And the Tom Haberstroh song is one of the great songs that we have ever made. And I want to play that. Why are you making a face at me, Mike? I do it every time. Every time I mention Tom Haberstroh, it's almost like I mentioned Tom Haberstroh just so that we can play the song of Stitch's Brick in Your Face with its, you know, making fun of Haberstroh's metrics.
But why is Mike making that face? Objecting to anything?
There's all sorts of different things that happen with licenses once we migrated over to ESPN Plus. But we can go ahead and play this song because it's Stitch's.
Okay, so there you go. So, but the story I want to tell you, or the question I want to ask that I want to have you guys think about, this is not a gratuitous way to simply play a song that we're proud of and double dip lazily on work done many years ago. But it's kind of that. Haberstroh writes, what do you do if the situation is you can get Giannis, but you have to give up Bam Adebayo?
Bye-bye.
I think so, too, but I'm surprised by the number of people in Miami who don't agree with that. So we will get to that in a second as Tom Haberstroh asks just a very easy-to-talk-about sports radio question.
I'll put that stat in your face. Now what you gonna do with it? Now what you gonna do with it? Now what you gonna do with it? Got a small few data that I love to collect. Got a small few data that I love to collect. Load up, load up, load up. You better have my stats where my internet connects. Load up. You got a regression to the mean and a stat that I check. Purr, 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 purr. I ain't a fan, I'm a whiz that I respect, little boy. If you want to shoot mid-range, I'll be Creed Teigen. Effective field goal percentage coefficient. Call Daryl Morey. Be Ingros. Baller at the scene, mean, median mode. Get algorithms to encode. Sorry if you didn't know. Then I read Zach Lowe. Metrics. But the hate is still troll. I love Haberstroh! I love Haberstroh! I love Haberstroh! I love Haberstroh!
Do me the favor as well. I know that I shouldn't do what I'm about to do, but just get Pouncy Block for me because I want to hear it. I know. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You've got a lot to do. The computers.
I've got half of my working computers.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. I will filibuster until I will filibuster until you get it. But I want to talk about Stugatz. What's happening here? with the Miami Heat.
I mean, it's a non sequitur.
I know, but it just reminded me. I know that there's no logical link between these two songs. It's basically just two songs I like.
Yeah.
And Mike Ryan is the featured artist in both of them. And I just remember how ridiculous it looked, him making these songs in the studio, because I want you to imagine Mike Ryan, who cares about music, meticulously sort of doing the performance of summoning the energy of AC/DC or Stitches.
All coked up.
All coked up, yeah. Obviously, yes.
Stop doing that. My dad watches
right.
this
it's
show.
Not right. But the Miami Heat conversations, two guys that I find interesting. You saw what happened with Hassan Whiteside, right? Hassan Whiteside signed 1 year in Sacramento. And that was a wonderfully dreamy time in Miami Heat basketball, where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, okay, before the sport evolves into what it is now, where you're saying three-point shooters, it's what I want all over the place, the Miami Heat discovered in the dumpster a seven-footer who could play in the post. And we were all like, oh, my God, give that guy all the money. Like,
triple-doubles with blocks.
Triple-doubles with blocks.
He timed the market perfectly. If he comes to market like 2 years later, he doesn't get the money that he got.
No, and so in Sacramento, he gets the veterans minimum, and the whole thing fell apart very quickly, like where he said Heat championship practices, and he's on the ground wheezing during sprints, and Shane Battier's coming by and saying, hey, we're champions. You're Hassan Whiteside. How about you get off of the floor and you start running with us?
He didn't care.
No, but Hassan Whiteside so got so many millions of dollars and now ends up in Sacramento 1 year, veterans minimum, and all of that happened very fast. But so the Heat go from there to, okay, Bam Adebayo. We will discover a Bam Adebayo. The guy is built like very few athletes in basketball. You know, that's a very masculine sport, and he feels sometimes physically like he's a little more masculine than everyone else in a masculine sport.
With handles.
But not the handles that Giannis has, not the game that Giannis has, not the greatness that Giannis has, not the value that Giannis has. But I'm always fascinated by when a fan base falls in love with one of their own and he's a hard worker, and how it is it distorts your evaluations, because you're like, I don't want him. Didn't Bam just beat him in the playoffs? Didn't Bam just show you that he's a particular matchup problem for Giannis? I don't want Giannis. And I feel fan bases do this all the time when it comes to greatness. You want Giannis, but you don't want to give up anything that you've fallen in love with.
It's interesting. You're right about that. It is interesting. I didn't realize this. Bam, through his third season, this past season was his third season, had numbers that were very comparable, if not better, than Giannis in his third season. You know? I mean, and I didn't realize that. I thought Giannis was great and great right away. It took him 3 years to become great.
Bam's third season was better than Giannis's third season. And the entire thing is kind of built on a faulty premise, because I think Giannis would be coming to Miami, if he ever comes to Miami, to play with Bam Adebayo. They're close. They work out in the offseason. They share the same agent.
Regardless, Haberstroh asked the sports radio question, and I fed the monster to do sports radio, just filling time between songs, like Haberstroh and AC/DC's. What's the context here? There was a play on Monday Night Football. I think Darrell Revis ran 100 yards with a touchdown.
Matt Moore started at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins in a Dolphins-Jets Monday Night Football game that the starting center was a first-round draft pick named Mike Pouncey.
And Mike Pouncey, Darrell Revis is running down the field with a pick six, and Mike Pouncey, while chasing him like at the 50-yard line, says bleep this and just does a somersault.
Well,
like,
that wasn't his intention.
I think it was.
He didn't do the Tyreek Hill thing where he's like, peace out. He was chasing after him.
It's not like he was like, hey, I'm not going to catch him. Time for a somersault.
It was. It was absolutely not something where he was tripping and falling. He just did a somersault because he's like, I'm not going to go the next 50 yards. Let's hear that song.
You were picked in the middle of the first wish you luck for playing. You've been Patsy Brown.
Is that a Lusaka polite reference? The short yardage running back for the Miami Dolphins in the middle of two decades of crud football?
He was niche.
I think Bouncy just kind of tripped, and then he just...
I don't think so.
Tripped into a somersault. You have him like, I'm not catching Reeves.
Right. Somersault
time.
On Monday Night Football, it's Bouncy time, baby. I'm doing a somersault.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
You got tell the people about Len Casper.
Okay. Everyone could use a little comfort this holiday season. Len Casper, the voice of the Cubs, of course. Oh, the White Sox, really?
White Sox, yes, he left. It was big news yesterday.
Cross-town rival.
It was the big sports media news yesterday.
Wow, from the Cubs to the White Sox.
That's right. No bigger story in sports media yesterday than Len Casper.
Amazing.
Don Lebatard.
I'm anti-forgiveness.
Stugatz.
Leave my brain alone.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Greg St. Jean at Mailman Greg 1. Ask a simple question. Why do we have to get to the nitty gritty? And what is nitty gritty? Good questions.
Yes, that is. Let's find out what the origins of that are. Do you know, I'll put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Do you know what the actual physical manifestation of nitty gritty is? Because I know what gritty is. It's Julian Edelman. I don't know what the nitty gritty is. Do you know? Does anyone?
I have no idea. I'm looking it up right now, but you're right on gritty.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Either him or Wes Welker or any number of people that that Bill Belichick uses as wide receivers. You were talking about during the break, Eric Bieniemy, and I don't know what it is that you were saying about Eric Bieniemy. If you do not know, the Kansas City Chiefs are very inventive as an offense. They look a little bit different than everyone else does. I never know whether that's scheme or just amazing athletes, but it seems to be at least something to do with scheme. And Eric Bieniemy is at the forefront of all of their offense because he's an inventive offensive coordinator and a former Colorado running back, I think.
Colorado running back. Yeah, he's very good. He's a very good player in college. I find it interesting, A, that he hasn't been hired as a head coach yet, especially after the season they had last year. He's certain to be hired this year in the offseason as a head coach somewhere, and maybe timing is everything because he has some really good choices. If he's the guy that every NFL team wants, and I'm just wondering, like, how he would view the options that he has, because it could be the Jets, right? And he might have a chance to be Trevor Lawrence's coach or maybe Justin Fields' coach.
Is that a good job? Is the Jets' job a good job? Now, keep in mind, I understand that on ESPN Radio and our radio lineup, our new radio lineup beginning January 5th, you're going to get a lot of Jets coverage. You got Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
You got Bart Scott. And you got Mike Greenberg.
Correct.
Giant Jets fan. So
yes.
I ask you and I ask them. I toss it to them. I feel like they could talk about this for a month, and it would be good, strong, opinionated radio. Is that a good job?
It's a good job depending on what you think of Trevor Lawrence. If you think Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, then yeah, it's a great job because he'll turn the franchise around. If you don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be very good, then no, it's a horrible job. But Deshaun Watson is also waiting because that job's going to be available as well, and maybe Justin Herbert. And so I just find it very interesting that the offensive coordinator that is in charge of Patrick Mahomes, the guy that everyone wants, is going to be able to land in a spot where he might already have a guy who's great as an NFL quarterback or potentially a great NFL quarterback. Those are some pretty good landing spots for Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, it's a great job landscape right now. And I know what everyone's thinking. Well, I mean, anyone could be great calling plays for Patrick Mahomes, but I was actually interested in something Tyreek Hill said. I believe it was last week, saying that when Patrick Mahomes first got to practice and started throwing him balls, he's like, why the heck did we draft this guy? This guy stinks. So there was development with Patrick Mahomes. Remember, he sat that entire season behind Alex Smith.
When I ask you the question, is that a good job of the Jets, Stugatz? To me, the thing that's interesting about pairing, because I think the best job there is the one with the Chargers. I think that
Justin Herbert.
Well, it's just all of it, right?
Over and Deshaun Watson.
This not just because it's Deshaun Watson, because I don't know what I would do if you forced me to choose between the future of Deshaun Watson and Justin Herbert. That's not what I'm doing. What I am interested in, though, is the Jets are sitting here and they don't have a quarterback. And I'm asking you, is that a good job because they're losing all their games? Houston does have the quarterback, but has lost and done so many dumb things with him that they're in a bad spot with their draft picks because you have only a quarterback and you don't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. And it makes the Charger job. Wow, this was a lot of sports.